Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast number 19 on Filling Station by Elizabeth Bishop. The first heading on your worksheet is subject matter. The third poem by Elizabeth Bishop on your course is Filling Station. This is one of Bishop's more popular poems with students who like the simple descriptive language and the poem's hugely positive message. The poem is described from the point of view of a person who has pulled into a filling station to fill their car with gas or petrol. The speaker notices immediately that the station is very dirty, with almost everything covered in oil, including the owner of the filling station and his two greasy sons. The speaker then notices a wicker sofa and a dirty but comfortable dog. She also mentions a doily, some comic books and the begonia plant. After asking why someone would embroider the doily or water the plant, the speaker concludes that somebody loves us all. These are some of the key ideas in the poem. Now, in your own words, write a concise summary into your worksheet of your own thoughts on what this poem is about. We move on now to theme. The theme of love is central to this poem. At first glance, you would be forgiven for imagining that the poem will simply be about a driver's experience of refilling her car at a greasy filling station. But Bishop often moves away from her initial descriptions and into some reflection towards the end of her poems, and it is no different here. The love imagined by the speaker is the quiet, unshowy type of love that often exists in families and is expressed in simple daily routines that show people caring for one another. The maternal mother figure, who is absent in this poem, is present through the items she has embroidered and the plant she possibly waters on a daily basis. The poem leaves us with a strong sense of reassurance that even in the most unlikely of places, love permeates life in quiet, undramatic, and perhaps even unnoticed or unacknowledged ways. The next heading is quote 3. The poem is built around a series of observations of the passerby who has stopped at the gas station to fill her car. Select any three phrases or lines from the poem that you enjoyed and briefly say why you like them. For example, you might like a very descriptive phrase or perhaps a playful image in the poem. You could also look for a more reflective line of what it suggests to you about the meaning of the poem. The fourth heading on your worksheet is imagery. The immediate image we get of the station is that it is covered in oil. Bishop uses phrases such as oil-soaked and oil-permeated, greasy and thoroughly dirty to create a very clear first impression of the setting, which is anything but complimentary. Much of the imagery is very concrete. You could list several objects which the observer notices. For example, the cement porch, the wickerwork, the comfy dog, the comic books, and the doily that covers the tabaret. The image of the plant, described as a big hirsute begonia, is a wonderful tactile image in the poem, while the picture of the dirty dog, who is actually very comfortable in his spot on the wicker sofa, creates a familiar, cosy and homely feeling about the setting. The doily in the poem is another interesting image. At first glance, the poet describes it as a big, dim doily, but on closer inspection, she sees it has large daisies embroidered into the pattern. In other words, it is far more detailed and intricate than she first thought. The image could symbolise the poet's reflection in the poem that at first glance something might seem undesirable, disturbing, but on further inspection, something of value can be seen beneath first impressions. The arrangement of the oil cans so that they say SO, 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 SO invites a comparison between automobiles and highly strung horses. Just as the oil calms the automobiles, similarly Bishop, as a poet, has arranged her words and images in the poem to offer us some reassurance to calm us and to reassure us that there will always be someone who will love us all. We move on now to language. And the language in the poem is descriptive and playful. The description of the sons as being saucy and greasy is quite humorous, with a pun on the word saucy, which means cheeky, but also suggests that the isle covers them in a tin film, almost like a sauce. There's also humour where Bishop describes the comic books that add a note of colour before quickly adding of certain colour, reminding us that everything is isle permeated. The use of exclamation marks and question marks is another technique used by Bishop to show that she is engaging more in the scene and inviting us also to engage with her, from initially making something of a joke about the station, "Be careful with that match," to asking, "Why? Oh, why the dialy?" She is beginning to reflect on the simple human touches to the filling station's porch. The language also has a photographic quality to it. We can imagine watching this scene on a big screen in the cinema. It begins with an establishing shot of the filling station. It is covered in oil. And then the camera zooms in to capture some close-up shots, each a snapshot of objects on the family porch. While we don't directly see the person or the face of the mother figure in the family filling station, her presence is felt by the poet in these homely objects and tasks. The next heading is form. The poem is composed of six stanzas, which are made up of six, seven or eight lines. There are several examples of enjambment or run-on lines in the poem. For example, in lines 15 and 16, "It has a cement porch behind the pumps." Another example is in lines 36 and 37. "Somebody arranges the rows of cans." The effect of this enjambment is to quicken the flow of the poem, which in turn creates the effect of the observer quickly glancing around the filling station from object to object. Note too how Bishop brilliantly uses several run-on lines and little punctuation in the final stanza, until we are almost breathless from reading, before she dramatically allows us to draw breath for the final insightful line, "Somebody loves us all." Another feature of the poem is the poet's use of repetition. For example, note how stanza 5 sees the repetition of the word "why" at the start of lines 28, 29 and 30, while in stanza 6 the poet also repeats the word "somebody" three times. This type of repetition is called anaphora, and it emphasises the poet's curiosity and engagement with the scene and her final conviction that, yes, we are indeed all loved by someone. Interestingly, the soothing "so, so, so" is a phrase that uses repetition three times. Could that be significant? We move on then to sound. While Bishop does not use end rhyme in the poem, there are numerous examples of other sound effects such as alliteration, assonance and sibilance. What is very clear in the poem is the use of sibilance, which is where words containing the letter S are repeated for effect. In the first stanza, there is sibilance between words such as station, oil-soaked and translucency. And the impact of these S sounds is to emphasise the film of oil that clings to almost everything in the station, those words and sounds almost oozing off the page. It's as if the stanza itself has been dipped in oil. You can also hear sibilance in that wonderful line in stanza 6, "so, so, so, so," in which the repeated S is a whispered, soothing and calming sound. Have another look over stanza 2 and see if you can find some further examples of sibilance in the poem. You can read more about sibilance in the Zoom In Quick Reference card on the poem filling station in your Poetry Speaks textbook. Examples of alliteration in the poem include "dirty dog," "dim doily," and "beside a big hirsute begonia." You can almost imagine the speaker smiling to herself as she surveys and takes in these various objects of family living. The phrases also sound conversational and create the effect of the speaker chatting to us about her experience of stopping at the filling station. The next heading is tone and mood. The speaker's initial tone in the opening stanza seems, on one level, to be one of shock. Oh, but it is dirty. The film of oil that covers everything seems to disgust her. On first impression, the scene is repulsive, and you get the feeling that she's looking down on the station and quite possibly those who work there. However, her more playful and light-hearted response to the station emerges through her comic description of the father in his tight overalls and his two saucy and greasy sons. The speaker seems amused by the scene at this point before wondering why the dolly? Why the tabouret? Why the plant? This humorous tone is again evident in the line, somebody waters the plant, or oils it, maybe. Finally, while the speaker may initially have regretted stopping at such a dirty and greasy gas station, by the end of the poem, she too has been able to see behind the outer appearance of the station and realises that each of us is lovable in our own way, no matter what our circumstances. The insight reassures Bishop, who grew up without the presence of both her parents, that each of us can take comfort in knowing that we are loved. In terms of mood, think about your own thoughts and feelings when you studied this poem. Did you find it comforting and hopeful? What was your favourite part of the poem? Do you believe the speaker when she says, somebody loves us all? We turn then to the final heading, personal response. Filling Station is certainly a poem that brings out quite strong and often personal responses from students who have read it. Consider one or two of the following prompts before writing your own personal response into your worksheet. The poem is about love, family and hope. Did you agree or disagree with the key ideas in the poem? Do you think the poem was insightful? Did the poem present love in an unusual or different way? Do you think this family are happy living and working at the filling station? Would you agree that the poem is permeated with hope? Did you feel a sense of hope after you studied the poem? Do you think you learned anything about first impressions and how we're often too quick to judge people?